All right, good evening. Hope you have your thinking caps on tonight. Did I hear a groan in the back? When you come to church, you better have your brain engaged so that you can think about what's being said. Number one, to make sure it's right, make sure it's true, and you check your Bible. Number two, because exercise of the brain will keep your brain going. And also, God made it so you have to exercise your brain to grasp the Scriptures. This is a spiritual book that we glean, that we get spiritual truth from, but you also understand that the Bible, just reading, is a great intellectual exercise in personal development. I mean, most important spiritual, but also just on a very personal level. So let's go to John chapter 1 to start. This will be the third part in the series that we started back when Artemis was supposed to go up, and lo and behold, it still hadn't gone up. John chapter 1, Biblical Astronauts, part 3. This is the most fun of all the messages, in my opinion, because you'll see who we're going to talk about. John 1, let's read verse 1 down to verse 5, and then we'll pick it up down in verse 10. So John 1:1. This is just a absolutely incredible passage to read. Just to read it and not even comment, it's really something. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then it tells you a little bit about John. That's John the Baptist. Go down to verse 10. We'll pick it up. This is more about Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. I think that's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Here He is among the very people He made, and they rejected Him. Look at verse 12. Here's the good part. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Is that you? You believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you say yes, you are a son of God. Look at verse 13. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we defined an astronaut as someone who travels beyond the Earth's atmosphere. So this astronaut we're talking about tonight, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, He actually has a different starting point. If you remember Enoch in week one that we started this, he started down here. He was born down here, and then he went up. And then the second one was Elijah, born down here, and he went up. And here we are with an individual who was not born down here to mark the beginning of his life. So where did he come from? He came from out there, down here. So that's not going from Earth to outer space. He's the opposite, isn't he, to start off with? So our starting point is not Earth. It is heaven for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ started up there. He came down here, but in the present, He is up there, but He's coming back down here. Now, did you catch all that? He started up there, came down here. He died, was buried, rose from the dead, ascended back up there, yet He's coming back. Now, I only gave you part of what we're going to hit tonight. So there's a part of that in the middle that is absolutely fascinating that we'll spend a little bit of time with tonight. So, first point, I'm going to call this heaven to earth. So He's not your typical astronaut that starts here and goes up. He started up there. So first point is heaven to earth. Now, how did Jesus Christ get from heaven to earth? Somebody help me out here. How did he get from heaven to earth? He had to be born of Mary. Now, I'm not going to go through all this tonight. I think you probably know this because we just read it. Jesus Christ has always existed. His title in John 1 is the Word. And the Word was present in the beginning. And before the beginning, the Word existed. Now, you might be thinking, how could he exist when he was born down here, and when we are born, that marks the start of our existence? So for me, that was November 11, 1972. For you, that's your birthday. For Jesus Christ, you can't put a date on it. He has always existed. So this is where, yes, Jesus Christ became a man, yet he's also God. And again, try to explain that. I'll give you 30 minutes to try to explain it. You won't be able to do it. But that's the truth. That's how it is. We'll just say that it is, and we don't have to explain it. So I could have spent some time, I was thinking about spending some time talking about his birth, and I need to do that, but not all the details about Mary. Instead, I want to show you something really interesting. Go to Luke chapter 1. Keep your finger in John, we'll be back. But go to Luke chapter 1 to start here. And how Jesus Christ, John 1 said, he was there in the beginning. So he's always existed. And he made his way down to earth. I want to show you something here about John the Baptist and then about Jesus Christ. Just to make a point here about where he came from. So if you look at we're in Luke chapter 1, 11, verse 11. So this is a little bit about Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist. And I'm going to point out some things as we read here. It says, and there appeared unto him, and this is Zacharias while he's in the temple, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Okay? So there is the announcement of John the Baptist to be born to Elizabeth and Zacharias. Now go down there to verse 24, same chapter. Zacharias comes out and he tells that little bit about what happened. Look at verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself. How many months? How long? Okay, it's real important you see that. John the Baptist is born, and now 5 months have passed. You say, a little detail, why is that important? You'll see here. 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now watch the next verse. And in what month is it? 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, I won't read all of this. You find out, verse 31, let's skip down there. You find out that Jesus would be born of Mary. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Okay, so here's the question I have for you. If you're watching there, the context, some dates given, some time given. How long was John the Baptist born before Jesus Christ was born? John the Baptist was born first. How much earlier? Okay, actually, at least five. I think you say 5 or 6, because it says in the 6th month is whenever the angel showed up. So 5 to 6 months. John the Baptist is 5 to 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Okay, let me throw you for a loop here. Go back to John 1. John 1. Go down to verse 15. John 1, verse 15. John, and that's John the Baptist, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh, what's that next word? After me So he was born, John, born before Christ. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. You got your thinking cap on? Who's born first, Jesus or John the Baptist? John the Baptist is born first, making him older, 5-6 months older. How can John the Baptist then turn around and say, he was before me? Say again. He was before him. He has always existed. Now, John says it again. Go down to verse 29. Look at it, what he says here. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So the only way Jesus Christ can exist before John the Baptist is for him to have existed and then been born after John the Baptist, yet been around before John the Baptist. You got that yet? He was born after, but he existed before. So, you understand, this is great proof here. I never thought about this until I started going through this and studying. This is great proof of Jesus Christ's deity. The fact that he is God manifest in the flesh. So, can you trust the testimony of John the Baptist? What do you think? I think you can. Let me show you something about John. Go to verse 19. Look what John, what kind of guy he was. John 1:19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Okay, now hold on a second. What sayest thou of thyself? How would you answer that? You don't have to answer out loud, but don't we like to say good things about ourselves and sort of exalt ourselves? You don't have to confess that you do this. I know you do. You may not do it, but you want to because you want people to think a certain way of you, right? Look what John the Baptist says. He says in verse 23, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. I mean, John could have said, yeah, I am the Christ. He didn't. He could have said, yeah, I'm Elijah. He didn't. He could have said, yeah, I am one of those prophets. And they would have believed him because they were looking for these individuals. So he doesn't. So that tells me a lot about John the Baptist. John the Baptist tells the truth. And John the Baptist actually lost his life because of that later on, you find out. Now, go to John 3. More about John the Baptist here. John 3. Go down to verse 28. I believe that John the Baptist is a trustworthy witness because he thought of himself a whole lot less than he thought of Jesus Christ. He thought of Jesus Christ much more. I'll show you some proof here. 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. So who's the bridegroom? That'd be Jesus Christ. John refers to himself as the friend of the bridegroom, rejoicing over hearing him speak, hearing Jesus Christ speak. Now verse 30, you want to summarize the way to live the Christian life in one verse? Verse 30 does it for you. Great verse. John says this. He must increase, but I must decrease. What happened to John? He died. They buried him, and he's still dead. What happened to Jesus Christ? He died. They buried him. He's alive. He will always be alive. We'll get to some more about that in a minute, but I just don't understand. I came across this when I wasn't trying to sidetrack here, just ended up doing it with John the Baptist, how he says things about Jesus Christ where he could have bragged on himself instead, but he told the truth instead. So notice, go on here, verse 31. Look what else he says about Jesus Christ. This goes along with our lesson. He that cometh from where? There it is. There's from heaven to earth. He that cometh from above is above all. Isn't that a great statement? Isn't Jesus Christ above all? We ought to exalt Him as that because He is that. He is above all. And watch what else He says. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What a great verse. And what He hath seen and heard, that He testifieth, and no man receiveth His testimony. He that hath received His testimony has set to seal that God is true. So, really neat. John the Baptist, when he had an opportunity to open his mouth, you know who he talked about the most? Jesus Christ. You know who he had opportunity to talk about and brag on? Himself. They opened the door for him to do that. And instead, he bragged on Jesus Christ. Be like John the Baptist. Amen? You get a chance to open your mouth and brag on somebody? Brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell somebody what He did for you. Tell somebody what they'll do for Him, for them as well. So, pretty neat there. I just thought that was really well stated by John the Baptist. He that cometh from above, and he that cometh from heaven. So there's point number one, from heaven to earth. So a little bit different than your standard astronaut. Our astronauts like to go from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. A good verse on things coming from above. I'll just read this one to you. You probably know this one. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? From above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. So, what's the greatest gift that came from up there to down here? Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's got to be. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, there's point number one. Heaven to earth. So let's move on here. Now, are you ready? This is the part of the message where you really got to think here. This may be new to some of you, and it may not be new to some of you, but I have studied this a number of times, and I always come up empty. So let's see how this goes tonight. Let's go to John 19 to start, just to prove the point. I know that you're aware of this, but Jesus Christ, when He came down here, did die. So just to show you that, where it's at in the Scriptures. Could have gone to any of the four Gospels, but I'm already in John, so we'll stay here. Look at John 19:30. John 19:30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Okay, look down there at verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and the other which was crucified with Him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was what? Dead already, they brake not His legs. Okay. Just the proof from the Bible, Jesus Christ did come down from heaven and He did die. Now, here's the question that we will answer, but let me just ask you to get you thinking. Once a person dies, do they cease to exist altogether? When a person dies, does that individual cease to exist altogether? The answer to that biblically is no. If any of us were to die tonight, if everybody here is saved, hope you are, you're not going to cease to exist. In fact, if you were to die tonight, you would be much better off than you are right now, 7:45 on a Wednesday night. You'd be in a much better place. So, I just want to make sure that we all are on the same page. I'll show you this from the Scriptures, but when a person dies, they don't cease to exist. You have a soul and a spirit that does not die. Your body dies. Your soul and spirit do not die. Okay, what about the Lord? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? He died. What was happening after He died? He didn't cease to exist. He must have been somewhere doing something. You think? Acts chapter 2. This is where you got to really think through things. And this is fun stuff. Acts chapter 2. What was the Lord Jesus Christ doing after He gave up the ghost? So Peter's preaching a great message here in Acts chapter 2. Look at 22. 2:22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible. I love that, the way that's stated. It was not possible that he should be holding of it. Death couldn't hold him. 25. Now, this is where it gets interesting. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul where? In hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Go back to verse 25. For David speaketh concerning who? Him. That's context. Who is that? Jesus Christ. David spoke concerning Jesus Christ, even though he lived a long time before Jesus Christ. You want to get the cross-reference on this from the Old Testament? Psalm 16 is where David spoke, and obviously it's written down, about Jesus Christ. And in verse 27, this matches Psalm 16. I believe it's verse 10 or 11 over there in Psalm 16. This matches what is stated here. David said about Jesus Christ, thou wilt not leave my soul where? What is that all about? What has it got to do with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. What is that? Here's the answer. After Jesus Christ died, Peter just mentioned it, he also mentions that something else was going on. Where is hell, folks? It is down. Now, I don't have time to chase all the references here, but let me just give you the short version. In Luke 16, you have an account of a rich man that went to hell. You remember that? But right across the way from hell is another place. And it's not a place of torment, it's a place of comfort. What was it called? Abraham's bosom, or paradise. That's where Lazarus was. You remember this? They can see each other, indicating that hell and Abraham's bosom are in close proximity. But Luke 16 tells you there's a great gulf fixed between them. They couldn't go from one to the other, but they can see each other. All right? Now, that's all before Christ died. So your Old Testament saints, when they died, where did they go? Well, that rich man went to hell. That beggar, Lazarus, did not go to heaven. He went to paradise, or Abraham's bosom. Why is that? Okay, Ephesians 4. Now again, this is the abridged version here. We can talk more about this after church if you like. Ephesians 4. Neat stuff. If Jesus Christ went down, now, I need to clarify something before I really get myself in trouble here. It says Jesus Christ, that will not leave my soul in hell. He went down. Can you agree with that? Nowhere in your Bible will you find Jesus Christ burning in hell. There's charismatic preachers that preach that. I don't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. But he can go down there and yet not burn. There was no need to him to burn. He paid for sin on the cross, right? But he did go down. So why did he go down there? Not to pay for more sins. They were already paid for. Because what did he say on the cross? What's the last three words? It is finished. So he didn't need to go down there to pay for sins more. So it's nonsense to say he burned in hell. Nowhere in the Scripture you're going to find that. Ephesians 4. What was he doing down there? Well, here we go. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what's in parentheses is super important. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also, what's that next word? Descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Okay, so we have a match. We did a lesson on Sunday night here a couple weeks ago about cross-referencing. We have a match to Acts chapter 2 right here. Something about him going down to the lower parts of the earth. That will not leave my soul in hell. Those things have a commonality there. So notice the verse 9 says, before he ascended, he first descended. So here he is walking the earth and he dies. his spirit and soul go down to the lower parts of the earth. Look what else it says. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So what do you think, putting what we know together here, what do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was doing down there after he died? What do you think? Anybody want to guess? He had to get some people out of the place that they were to take them to the place they should be. Where is that? Heaven. You understand that in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, those were all temporary. They only covered sin until a person blew it again. Now you have a man who offers the final sacrifice for sin. Now a person can go from down there, up there, and stay there because the payment, the final payment has been made. If you've ever been in debt before, you make that final installment and the debt is paid, it's all gone, right? And that's kind of how it is here with Jesus Christ. No more payments to be made. He made the ultimate. So now the people down there can go permanently up there because his blood paid the price. Yeah, even for their sins. I know this gets real deep, but he gets them out. Now let me show you this. You say, where are you getting that from? A couple places here. Go over to, let's go to Acts chapter 12. Now, if I like to use the Bible rather than make stuff up, and I think that's obviously a good thing, or just outright guess. But as I read this, I wonder if this might be a little bit of a glimpse into what happened down there. This is not Jesus Christ. This is not Abraham's bosom. This is not going down, but As I read this, I wonder if this might be a picture of what happened down there. A picture. Look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept where? In prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth unto the city. That leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So you say, what's that got to do with what Jesus Christ did? Well, there's a mention of a gate there. Did you know, according to Matthew 16:18, that hell has gates? The gates of hell shall not prevail against, Jesus Christ says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when I read this, I wonder if maybe you're getting a picture there of what Jesus Christ did. You got these people who are stuck down there, and they can't get out. Now, they're not burning in hell. Please don't misunderstand me. You got two different compartments down there. These are people that under the Old Testament sacrificial system are safe, but they're stuck down there. They're not suffering for their sins, but they're stuck. And Jesus Christ shows up one day and says, hey, I'm opening the door. Follow me. Ephesians 4 said, he ascended up on high and led captivity captive. These people who are stuck down there, now he's theirs, and he takes them up there. Ephesians 4 says that. He says he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. He took them from down there and went up there. So what's this about keys? If there's gates down there, who's got the keys to hell and death? You get one guess. Revelation 1:18, Jesus Christ says, I am he that was dead and liveth forevermore, and have the keys to hell and death. So the one person that could go down there and open up the prison doors to get them out would be the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had to make that payment on the cross first. Now, have I lost you yet? This is really something. What's that? More astro. There you go. Now, they take the cake because These other astronauts were here on Earth where we're standing and went up. They went from way down there up there. Good call, Brother Mark. Yeah, more astronauts only because of the greatest, Jesus Christ. So I called that one. I didn't give you that point. We had point number one, from heaven to earth. I call that one from the lower parts of the earth to heaven. So, we got one more to cover here. One more. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Just to show you. Jesus Christ died, but He was busy. He had something to do. It was very important. Had to do with all those who died before He pays the price for their sins, and I say their sins because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. But that payment He made, oh yeah, He's able to rescue them from down there and take them to the third heaven. So Matthew 28, look at verse 16, and I know that you know these facts, but we always want to get the Scripture on it. 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay, so there's the Great Commission. You're all familiar with that. I show you that just to prove to you, at the end of Matthew, Jesus Christ is alive. And if you back up and read the verses, you find out it's a physical, bodily resurrection. Okay, so go to Acts chapter 1. And this is probably, well, I know for me, this is what first came to my mind when I launched out into this study. I said, oh yeah, here's Jesus Christ as an astronaut. And then I found out there's a whole lot more to it than that. So, this would be the last point from earth to heaven. So notice the Lord is going to end up where He started. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So He's still on earth at this time. Look what He tells them. And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Now watch verse 9 and all the way down to 11. Verse 9. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up. And a cloud, not a spaceship, doesn't need it. A cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now, I hope that, now that we've read this and we're talking about astronauts, you're scarred now, hopefully. Every time you see a rocket go up, what do? And you watch that thing as long as you can. And now I'm scarred because I know this Scripture. Every time I see a rocket go up and I find myself doing this, I'm reminded of that right there. And I ought to be. And you ought to be. Because this is the first time this ever happened where men are going like this, watching, in this case, not an object, a person, go up, up, up. And they just, I mean, I'm sure just like when you watch the rockets, it got smaller and smaller and smaller. And they can't see them anymore. So, hopefully you'll be reminded of that next time you see a launch. Now look what happens here, verse 11. Verse 10, actually. Let's get verse 10. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So, we actually can't end the message because we have some parts that are still not fulfilled, that still aren't fulfilled. So, recap. Point one, earth to heaven. Let me get that backwards. Point one, heaven to earth. Point two, earth, lower parts of the earth. Point three, earth, heaven. What's point number four? Hadn't happened yet. Heaven back to earth. The Lord just keeps going like this, doesn't He? Now, I want you to really consider, there is an obsession by men, and I know it's not all people, but a lot. There's an obsession with what's out there, isn't there? Why do they spend billions of dollars trying to go out there? They want to know what's out there. Now, Brother Mark mentioned that those folks down there in Abraham's bosom, they became astronauts, like it or not. And they were glad that they did when they reached their final destination. Did you know, 1 Thessalonians 4, if you're saved, you will also be an astronaut one day. And the great desire of man is to go up, and man tries to do it on his own power and his own intuition, his own intellect. And you don't need any of that. You know who you need? You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Gravity's a joke for him. He doesn't have to say, oh, I got to overcome gravity. No problem at all. The power of Jesus Christ is far, far greater. So think about him going up. Okay, that's one person. Think about the power that he must have for, I don't know the number, could be millions if you look at all through the ages. Millions of people who have died that were saved are coming up out of the grave and going up. All in one shot. Isn't that something? So, to end this, you understand Jesus Christ is the one who basically owns, he made it, he does own all that's out there. Therefore, he can freely travel back and forth, and he has done so, hasn't he? When you really look at this, he's traveled several long distances, and what's one of his many titles? The Light. The Light of the World. John 1, capital L, Light. And what is the fastest that a person could possibly travel down here on Earth, according to the scientists? Just happens to be the what? The speed of light. And I have a feeling he can travel faster than the speed of light. I have a feeling. So, all that to show you that was the most fun message of all the others, because we're talking about the greatest, the one that allows the other ones to even be possible. So some takeaways here, real quick. Give you three things here. Jesus Christ was active even after his death. And I want to remind all of us, I need to hear this maybe more than you do. He's active even today, even now, right now. He's moving. Number two, there is power in Jesus Christ that men try to duplicate, and they fail every time. Kind of a joke that we started this whole series with Artemis on the pad, and Artemis has not gone up yet. So, kind of interesting. So, no man can top that power. No man can even come close to equaling that power, the power of Jesus Christ. Last thing here. The power of Jesus Christ is in you if you're saved. And that power is in you, not that so that you can go up, at least right now, but that power is in you so that his life might be lived through you while you're here. That's why he gave you that power. Overcome sin, to live the life that he made you to live in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power is also in you, the power of Jesus Christ, because, as I already mentioned, there's coming a day when you will be an astronaut, whether you want to be or not, and it's not the power of SpaceX, it's not the power of NASA, it's not the power of Northrop Grumman, it's not the power of Blue Origin or all the rest, it's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen to that? So, real quick here, 1 Thessalonians 4, I know you know these verses, but let's end here reading these. These are the verses that tell about future astronauts, folks that will be in heaven. They start down here and go up there. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. There it is. caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with what? That's a promise. Those words are a promise that you can bet your life on. You really can. I hope you have. I hope you put your entire life in the hands of what God said right here. Not just here, but obviously connected with your salvation. So that should be a great comfort to you if you believe. Those words should be a comfort if you believe them, if you read them, if you spend some time meditating on them. Those things, those words are a great comfort. Wouldn't you rather be up there than down here? You will be one day if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that? So, hope you enjoyed all that. I think that's it, unless the Lord shows me something else here in the next few days for more astronauts. I think we kind of covered a lot of them there. So, we'll move on to something else. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just the great comfort and encouragement of the Scriptures. We need it. And we need it every day. And I pray that folks here, folks listening, would really be challenged to spend time in Your Word to know exactly what's coming and also to know what You want us to do on a daily basis. Thank You for how the fact that we can see things clear and how the nonsense men are involved in is just trying to duplicate something only You can do. And thank You that we can see through the foolishness of that. And we just pray for safety. We need Your hand of protection on every one of us as we go from here, and also need Your wisdom as we go through this week in this crazy world that we're living in. Just ask You to guide us and help us to be great lights for You in the places You put us. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.